Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Welcome to this episode of Scrappy ABM. Excited you're here today. This is actually going to be a little bit of a different episode. This comes from some webinar content that I got to do recently. We are super stoked to reshare this here. If there's a couple of things that you are like, okay, I'm not fully grasping the visual, we actually dropped the link below to the webinar, so you can actually go watch the full thing if you want the visuals. But overall, hope you enjoy this episode. And yeah, if you've got any questions, feel free to shoot me a message over on LinkedIn. Thanks. Hello and welcome to Lost on Where to Start with ABM. This is going to be a webinar that is dedicated to helping you find a treasure trove of opportunities in your closed lost pipeline program. So today, exclusively focused on how do you get started building a closed lost program right now. That said, probably not going to learn a whole lot of new things today. We always talk about this, but like you actually have about 75% of what you need to get started with an ABM program right now. We will work through is no secret sauces, just some step-by-step guidance, four simple playbooks you can actually start executing today, and that is four very tactical breakdowns, and then you'll actually leave with the foundation for a working program. If you'd like to get the most out of the session today, go to scrappyabm.com/plan. That is scrappyabm.com/plan. There will also be a Q&A section, so I always recommend people type in the chat any questions that they've got. And the other thing is go ahead and go into your Slack channel and go into your marketing program channel or your revenue team channel or wherever you would want to place this and say, I'm in an ABM session. What is one thing we should try to fix? What is one problem we're trying to solve? Why can't we get our ABM program off the ground? Or if there's some specific things, how would we want to fix our ICP? How would we think through structuring the right account list for a closed loss program? We'll talk a lot about that today. But get tactical, get selfish, ask a question to your team and get some feedback on the exact questions that you need to get answers to so you can build a successful program. And the last one, certainly not least, go ahead and book a time next week to put this into action. I say this in everything I ever do. Information without implementation is useless. And I really want the session to be useful for you. So if you actually want to get a ton of value out of this, do something with the information. So that's my recommendation. All right. What are we talking about today? So again, we're going to dive into the most overlooked high potential areas for a revenue team, which is closed lost opportunities. When you look at closed lost opportunities, a couple of things for just immediate consideration. One, you've already spent money to acquire these accounts. Two, you've built relationships and you've already uncovered real pain. And then lastly, you got sales emotionally already bought in. The sales team already wanted these accounts at one point. But at some point, something got in the way. It might have been budget, might have been timing, might have been priorities at that time. So today, we're going to talk about how to do a revenue resurrection plan that is faster and more personal than a net new campaign. And just to make this really simple and really clear, with closed lost, you have the best data of any other program you could build that are not your existing customers. You already know who was involved in the decision committee. You already know what they were trying to solve. You already know the alternatives they were looking to solve. You probably already even know if they had the money. You know their technology factually based on what they told you. You know so much about them, but we don't typically reactivate these accounts because they already said no thanks. So I bring this up all the time and I hear, why would we go back after these people? They already said no. Won't sales think this is a waste of time? Isn't this just a cold outbound program? People that already don't like us, some of them we closed lost because we didn't think they were a good fit. And we're going to talk through all of these objections and why these are not good reasons to not build a closed loss program. So I'm going to ask some quick questions in rapid fire. What we have found is that through these live streams, there's typically about a 30-second delay. So hello from the past. Four big questions for you. One, who's currently running a closed loss program? So just go ahead and drop in the chat. Yes, I'm running a closed loss program. Two, I'd love to hear from you what is working. So go ahead and outline, I am running it, and this is what's working super well. I also love to hear what's not working, because I make sure we actually create content that directly addresses the challenges that you're experiencing. And last but certainly not least, what are you hoping to get out of today? What are you hoping to get out of today? While we get some of those answers, hi, my name is Mason. You may actually hear my daughter in the background. She is having a bit of a fuss over what she's eating for lunch, but I'm first a Christian, then a husband, then a father. So if you want to learn a little bit more about all of that stuff, I occasionally on the weekends post about my family. I primarily, though, am known, at least in Linky Land, as being the founder of Scrappy ABM. In the past 3 years, I, Mason Cosby, have personally sourced about $20 million in revenue at about a 16x ROI, and I've actually built a team of Scrappy ABM experts. We're about 15 strong right now, which is super fun to have grown to 15 team members in about a year and a half. And our team of experts has sourced about $90 million in the past 3 years at an average of an 8x ROI. We build your first successful account-based marketing program, teach you how to own it, and then graduate you when you're ready. So our goal is to equip our clients to be successful without us by providing strategic, repeatable playbooks. We don't view offboarding as a bad thing. We view that as a graduation to the next stage of your growth. So that is how we think through it, and that's who I am. I always like to level set real quick on what is ABM. I'm not going to spend a ton of time here, 2 minutes. Tops, but it's B2B revenue strategy that aligns the revenue team on a set of shared target accounts that reflect our best customers. I'm always intentionally use the word best because sometimes we'll just build out the dream 50 and it's really not even close to reality. That said, we want to make sure that we go after our best customers, and best is highest profit, highest NPS scores, refer their friends. Those are best. So the goal here of an ABM program is to get more of those customers. When we think about a program, there's a lot of jargon in the world. I try to make things relatively simple. I'm not that smart in the grand scheme of things. So if I can keep it simple and I can understand it, typically most other people can also understand it. So when we build a program, we all just want a couple of specific things. So we want best fit potential customers to know that we exist. We want them to understand the problem that they're facing. Nobody buys unless there's a problem. We also want them to see that we can help their problems go away. We want them to buy from us to fix their problem. We want them to stay with us forever. We want them to buy more. And typically, that's about it. So if we accomplish building a program that accomplished these six things, most people that I've talked with are super happy. So we think about an ABM program. Yes, there's all this jargon, and there's a lot of things that we'll actually talk through today on terms, but this is the root of what we're trying to accomplish with an ABM program. Additionally, when we think about why ABM programs fail, if you've listened to any of our past content, I talk about this every single day. It's marketing and sales alignment. It's that ABM is hard to measure, and it's a lack of resourcing. So when marketing and sales don't speak the same language, they get frustrated with one another, and then they end up kind of abandoning the program. When you focus on an ABM program and start at the awareness stage, it's really difficult to actually know if you're winning or losing early in the program. And as a result, you don't actually know if you're building that momentum, because we still really don't change how we're addressing the program. So there's that. And the last thing would be just a lack of resourcing. Oftentimes, somebody will listen to a webinar like this and say, this is amazing. We should build an ABM program. And what ends up happening is they just throw it at one person, and then that person already had a full-time day job and they don't figure it out. And then they end up getting fired because they were assigned something they could never truly accomplish. So there's reasons that ABM programs fail. When we think about then the context of a closed loss program, closed loss actually really does a great job as a starting point of addressing these reasons specifically. So when we look at it, this is why you would talk to people that have already said no. So for starters, these are warm accounts that already know you. So we think about the alignment between marketing and sales. You can more easily get buy-in from an account list that are people sales have already spoken with, because they already said, we want these accounts, which is great. Second, you have real data on why you lost. So when we think about measurement of success, it's easier to measure against past objections because you actually know what you need to overcome. So when you see content engagement on specific things that overcome a past objection, that's winning. That's moving in the right direction because we've re-engaged these accounts. You also have contacts and champions in your CRM. One of the other reasons ABM programs fail are often just because of data. We don't know who to go after. We don't know how to source our lists. So when these people have already given you their information, what's likely right now, they may have changed jobs. There's a lot of other things that can happen because data does decay over time. But as compared to sourcing data from other sources, when you get the information from people that fill out a form and say, I'd like to speak with your sales team, and then you hop on meetings with them and you know that those meetings did have the right people show up, much better data. Again, sales already wanted to win these accounts. And this was the one that really was eye-opening for me when I first saw this stat, is that 60 to 80% of closed lost ops are closed for reasons that can change. I think that's the most important thing. I actually probably should put that first. But when you look at a closed lost opportunity and closed lost program, they said no at a certain point in time. And let's say it's pessimistic. Let's say 40% of these are things that can't change. They hate your brand. Technically, you could rebrand, but whatever. Like, they hate your and they will never work with you. In the absolute worst case scenario, that's 40% of the closed loss opportunities, which means 60% are opportunities that you can functionally re-engage. So if you've already got ICP fit, they already know you exist because they came through your process. They came through your sales process. What this means is that closed lost is simply addressing and building a known path forward on how you can re-engage these opportunities specifically. So that is why you should re-engage these people. And we think about this idea of building out an ABM program. We want to get these same accounts to buy from us to fix the problem. If they didn't buy from us, a closed loss program fixes this part. Somewhere along the way, in this stage of an ABM program, something got off the rails. We didn't maybe communicate value appropriately. Things happened on their side. An industry market changed. Maybe they got tariffs. Who knows? But closed loss fixes this. We can re-engage and reposition our brand to specifically overcome past objections. In the context, if you've also seen our account progression model, it just goes right here. It's a re-engagement program to re-engage these accounts to become a sales qualified account. And then we build all of our playbooks using this 4D framework. So again, that's data, distribution, destination, and direction. We will send out the slides if you want the deep dive. I've talked a lot about this in past webinars, so you can also go review some of our past content. But the TLDR version of this is targets plus triggers that create personalized nuanced messaging. So we think about this. Targets would be closed lost opportunities, triggers or reasons for reaching out. So that's their past objection. And then the personalized messaging gets specific and personalized to that account and that reason they didn't move forward. Next is distribution, which is just simply how do I plan to get in front of these people? That could be any number of things. And we're going to go really tactical on some of this. Next is in destination. So destination is just where we're actually sending them to get more information. And then direction is lastly, how do you plan to track it? So that's content engagement. That's more booked, meaning that's a ton of other different tracking components at different stages. But in the context of closed lost, it's did they open the email? Did they click the link? Did they book the meeting? The direction component here from a tracking perspective, relatively simple. So things from a theory and philosophy perspective, then we're going to dig into four different playbooks. I know we're moving quick, but I want to get tactical with you guys. Guiding principles around all closed loss programs. You want to center your message, what we're saying, what we're communicating, the destination that we're sending around what's changed. If you just say, hey, it's been 6 months, is now a better time? Maybe it works. But if the only thing that's changed is more time has passed, not a really great reason to re-engage. So when we talk about changes on their side, industry changes, Justin, I appreciate the closed loss reason of tariffs, but we actually were selling in the auto manufacturing space and they were really looking to grow. And then tariffs hit. There's a 25% increase in cost. Now, granted, at the time of this recording, there's been a 90-ish day pause on tariffs, but that was a significant industry change that like was a shakeup. And if you are in the like logistics shipping space and you do a lot of international importing and you're like a 3PL, so a third-party logistics provider, 3PLs right now have a huge opportunity to talk about operational efficiency and how they can actually decrease cost around shipping, which can offset the challenges around tariffs. That's a great closed loss reason to re-engage around. That's an industry change that affected an entire industry. So that's a huge one. Another one would be headcount change. So if they've had massive growth, or I always feel really weird talking about what I'm about to work through, but when we actually get brought in after layoffs, like they lay off the team and then they hire an agency. And I've never felt good about the idea of building a program that is triggered based on a layoff. But factually, that happens. There is headcount change. There is paternity leaves. There are maternity leaves. There are so many things that happen. So for an agency that provides outsourced services, headcount change is a good reason to re-engage if headcount is shrinking. Hard, but it is a viable change on their side. Or the other one would be acquisitions. You just acquired a new company. You expanded your service set. You expanded your feature capabilities. If you lost previously, I'm skipping ahead to product updates. If they had changes and they need help integrating from an acquisition perspective, they need your support and your services. We've actually helped quite a few of our clients through the acquisition process and helping them build a new marketing program that accounts for everything that they've got put together. So that's on their side. On your side, as I was already referencing, product updates. So like people lose often because they don't have the right functionality at that time. So a product update is, hey, we didn't win last time because of this reason. That's no longer a reason. So if you like everything else, we'd love to talk with you again. So that's changing on your side. Could be success stories of you just this is one of my favorites, is you have two people that are in the same industry and one of them moves forward and the other one doesn't. Going back to that doesn't and said, hey, we actually worked with this company at this time when we were thinking about working together. They move forward. This is their life now. Just wanted to go ahead and send that over. A little bit of a sting, but it shows, hey, opportunity cost. Like, you didn't go this route. This company did. These are their life. This is their life and these are their results. And lastly, and most certainly not least, would be pricing changes. This can work in two ways. So one is, hey, we're planning to raise our price at the end. I know that this is the you're looking at for next year because we couldn't get it in at this time. But if you are bought in and you buy in December, you get a decrease or essentially a discount on what it would look like versus a January 1st purchase. So pricing changes, or sometimes people lower their price or they repackage things and create a lower tier offer. All of those are viable reasons to re-engage. So focusing on specifically like what's changed is the guiding principle. All right. So we're about 17 minutes in at this point. We are not going to focus on actually building. So again, if you haven't, scrappyebm.com/plan, there is a button that says template. I don't remember the exact words, probably program planning template or campaign planning template. Open that up. We are going to build a program right now. And you'll go at another time, find all the right data. But I want you to go ahead and start thinking through for your programs, your distribution channels, some of the content assets you can send to, your tracking capabilities, or just off the cuff, yeah, we should definitely build a program around this industry because of this industry change. So these are the four we're going to focus on today. So it's vertical specific, objection based, persona based, and then champion tracking. So when we think about a vertical specific program, we want to reactivate closed lost deals in a single vertical where we have strong product market fit, but a deal stalled or died due to specific industry challenges. So again, we don't want to go, I'm going to keep coming back to auto manufacturing because it's super top of mind for some of our other clients. If you've never sold in the auto manufacturing space and you're like, man, they're really hurting, we should totally go here for the first time, even though we have no validated approach that would work in this space. Don't recommend it because you don't have product market fit. So if you know we have strong product market fit and this is a place in which we know we win and there's been a change, let's focus there. For people that are like, if we had product market fit, wouldn't we have already closed it? A great close rate is like a 30 to 40% close rate. Like, that's stellar, which means you still aren't winning 60 to 70%. So again, there's still a great viable opportunity for people that just didn't move forward because of something that wasn't communicated from a value perspective or changes on their side. So just want to go ahead and call that out. Focus on product market fit. As we think through this, the objective around data is to define the vertical segment and get context. So that's what we're trying to do from a data perspective. So from a data perspective, the objective here is build a clean, agreed upon list of recovery ready accounts within a specific industry. So that could be healthcare, that could be manufacturing, that could be fintech. So what we're going to do first is pull a closed lost ops list of 6 to 18 months old. You're going to then filter by industry. If you have an ICP fit score tech stack, fantastic. If not, just go ahead and also segment further by the ICP that you have outlined. So those obviously would be industry. This would be headcount. This would be revenue, things along those lines. We also want to focus on identifying consistent closed loss reasons. So if it was just timing, if it was internal shifts, if it was budget, great. But like, we don't want to filter by bad fit. This directly overcomes some of our closed loss opportunities we closed out because we didn't want to work with them. They were a bad fit. Great. Don't re-engage them. You can segment. You don't have to go after every closed loss opportunity. Just don't go after those people. Crazy. And then focus on accounts that have had no engagement in the past 90 days. I think of this through the lens of like, sales hasn't reached out in the past 90 days. They've not opened up sales emails. Now, if they've opened up marketing nurture emails, that's like a newsletter. I'm not counting that necessarily. If anything, that's actually a positive. Sales hasn't done anything in the past 90 days. These are good opportunities to specifically focus on re-engaging. As we think about the partnership with sales, the list that we just pulled is all of the data that's in our CRM. I often refer to this as anecdotal data. So there's still a lot of information that your sales team specifically have that probably didn't make it into the CRM. I've yet to meet a sales team that had perfect CRM compliance across everything that they were doing. What you want to do is, once you've pulled this list of what you think are really good fit opportunities, send that list over to a salesperson that owns those accounts and say, hey, I'd like to sync up for 30 minutes. We're trying to build a closed loss re-engagement program. Would just love to get your thoughts on what happened with these deals specifically. And then just dig into it. Like, what is the real reason that these deals were stalled? And then just have sales help you actually tag the deals. Because some of them, like, I'm just thinking very practically and tactically. Sometimes salespeople continue to follow up. It's just, and like that message isn't tracked in your CRM. So they may have actually been engaging some of these accounts and it was like, oh yeah, like my main point of contact said, total budget cuts across the board, not a whole lot of opportunity here. It's like, we can put them in a nurture program, but like they aren't going to be ready to buy until Q3. Great. Or let's say in this purpose is now until Q4. Cool. Like, good to know. That's just effective use of our resources on focusing on accounts that are probably better fit right now. So then the expert tip is just layer on additional firmographics that get you really specific. I really love the geographic firmographic component of where the people are living, because you can also then tie in events and get your close lost opportunities around your existing customers and have them just actually share stories. So if you can get in person as well into a close lost program, huge win. Additionally, looking at existing customer logos in that vertical, I would prioritize those that have validated, externally proven success stories, because then you can just way more easily lean in with that and say, hey, we work with customers just like you, and here are those customers. Everybody says we work with customers just like you, but you can show that you work with customers just like them through logos and through case studies and testimonials. It's just more impactful. So that's data. Distribution. The goal here is to use the right channels that the buyers are then able to actually build trust within and ensure that you've got messaging that resonates and sounds like it's written by the rep for the buyer. So when we think about channel mix here, this is both marketing and sales. So I would typically do an AE-led outreach that is a standard template, but we want to personalize it to that account. We've got a lot of information on these buyers, but the template is what's the primary message that we want communicated, and then how do we personalize it based on what we know of that account specifically. And then I focus the AE typically on engaging previously engaged buyers. So who's already in the CRM that's associated to the deal record. Next would then be LinkedIn one-to-one follow-ups to warm contacts. We'd also do retargeting ads that are vertical in their messaging. I think about this often as having a vertical specific landing page. We'll talk about that as destination, but just having the primary message of, we have a client that was able to help a specific vertical decrease their onboarding times by 50%, which means that their team for their clients is more effective. So then instead of it taking 12 weeks to get fully ramped, it now takes 6. So decreasing ramp times for companies like XX and X, that's huge. And that's a great retargeting ad. And lastly, for the SDR side, I typically use SDRs in this context to engage new contacts where the goal is to get a meeting set or to multi-thread them into specific meetings. So making sure we've got all the right people in the call. Oftentimes we lose deals because we don't get in front of the right decision makers. So if the SDR is multi-threading to get people in meetings, you're going to have a higher likelihood of a conversion. And also, if you've got the data on these people, or if the TAM is small enough, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. I actually love a direct mail play here as a way of standing out as well. So this is what I recommend as a channel mix for specifically a vertical specific closed loss program. As we think about what we want to provide sales with, it's email templates, it's DM scripts, it's objection handling documents, and it's social posts that they can also reshare. So I think about the goal from our perspective, we want our salespeople just connecting on LinkedIn with the people that are in their sales process and sales pipeline. And then when they organically share content that addresses past objections for a vertical, it's another channel. It's not guaranteed distribution, but it is helpful distribution that is also showing up again and again. And lastly is from a messaging team perspective. Last we spoke, this was your situation. Looks like this happened. Doesn't make sense to reconnect now. As we think through an example, like, again, manufacturing super top of mind for me. Last we spoke, your board was waiting to see if the Trump tariffs happened. With the news of a 25% tariff on the auto industry, seems like operational efficiency is likely top of mind. We were looking at how to build a more efficient approach to growth. So would it make sense to reconnect now? Context of what happened to them, industry change, doesn't make sense to reconnect. Relatively simple message, but this is the messaging theme that you would want to run with as it relates to an industry-specific closed loss program. Again, as we then think through destinations, we want to deliver highly specific vertical content that is high trust and aligned to their buying stage. So again, their buying stage is they were going to buy from you and then they didn't. So now we want them to buy now. So pretty specific buying stage. So as we think through some options, case studies from their vertical, I love actually using competitors. I saw somebody screenshot that was one of our clients. It was like, this is a killer subject line, which is your competitors use us. Direct, a little bit more than what I would love to do, but when we can actually showcase competitors or peers in the space, super helpful for actually showing we do know your industry. We know your space. We've worked with people just like you. An ROI calculator that's tied to their vertical specific benchmark. So if, when you can take it from closed loss programs in general to closed loss programs in this space, makes it more specific. I love a what's changed since we last spoke microsite type approach. I referenced this earlier, but just like a specific landing page that is curated for their industry. And then product tours that are focused on their role in industry. I just last week interviewed the CRO of Walnut to work through specifically how do you build great demo experiences. And a lot of it is the story that you're trying to communicate and tell. And when you can get really specific to that vertical or that industry, then it's going to be way more impactful. And then lastly, just invite them to a small industry roundtable or a customer panel. Doing this, surprise. But we've invited many of our target accounts onto a series of webinars. So like, for side note, we're going to do a webinar every other week for the next 4 months. So we've got a lot of webinars coming up. So hopefully if you like this kind of content, we'll dig more into it. But we invited people that like we would love to work with onto a webinar. So we're doing a lot of panels. And do I know that they're going to become buyers? Probably not. They're probably not in a buying cycle right now. But also just the fact that I get to hear directly from them what they're struggling with and how they're trying to solve it, super helpful for me as I try to engage a bunch of other buyers that are closed lost in their vertical. So love a good industry roundtable. And then Dave got a great question. I'll go ahead and answer these as we go along. So microsite or putting that directly in the emails. When I think about building out content, this is going to sound odd. These are just different distribution channels. So whatever you put on the destination to the page, I think you just repurpose that same content for your emails. Because often what happens for buyers and the reason they bounce from a landing page is they thought they were going to get one thing and then they land on the page and they get something different. So if you use similar language or the same messaging themes on the landing page that you use in your outbound or your email or your ad programming, it aligns so they're getting what they're expecting. So I would actually use literally same verbiage from landing page to email. And then the email sequence that I've done this previously, the email sequence that we do aligns with our standard approach for how we build out landing pages. And like email one is just like the header section. Email two is like the problem section. Email three is the solution section. Email four would be customer logos and testimonials. So that would be my thought of how do you do both in a way that is systematic in nature, so you're not also creating duplicative work. So as for a sales partnership, I would allow the reps to select the content that is best suited for each contact. So what you want to do is create a pre-packaged, choose your own destination bundle that you could do in a Notion doc or put it in your CRM and just kind of make it plug and play. And then if you want to go with a quick video deck, again, make it relatively plug and play and editable for them so that you've got great enablement content as a destination. So that's high level. And as far as direction, it's relatively simple here. Like we want to book a meeting. So like, here are a bunch of CTAs that you could use. And then from a sales partnership perspective, like just put the calendar link there. Make it really easy to book a meeting. And then what you want to do is through your outreach software, just track opens, clicks, page views. There's a lot of tooling and technology that when people are already cookied, you can actually just see that they've visited the page. So these are all leading indicators if they don't quite yet book the meeting, but just make it easy to book the meeting. Like the goal here is to make it low pressure, low friction, just get them to convert. So TLDR version, for anyone that wants to take a quick screenshot, it's vertical plus industry change that equals industry training plus your impact. So what changed? Why does it matter? How do we talk again? Distribution would be AE follow-up, SDR going after new contacts. You've got LinkedIn ads, you've got retargeting, then potentially direct mail. As far as destination, it's going to be landing pages, case studies, ROI content, and product videos. And then lastly, production perspective, it's going to be content, engagement, and meetings booked. As we look at the TLDRs of these, destinations and direction are going to largely look the same from a TLDR version. You're going to get most of the nuance in the deep dives around the content. So that is vertical specific, objection based. So the goal here is to win back closed lost ops by directly addressing and diffusing the objections that previously killed the deal. So what we want to do is actually focus less on verticals and just like you didn't move forward for this reason. So segment by reasons that they didn't move forward. And ideally you're segmenting by real reason. I think you don't segment by real reason. What most people say is, it's just a budget thing. And like in reality, probably not. What I have found is that when people, typically speaking, see the value, they find the money, which means it's a value issue. So we didn't directly address some of their concerns. And as a result, they didn't move forward. So figure out the real reason. I typically would look at objection-based through a lens of 6 to 12 months primarily, and then you can filter by closed loss reason based on the CRM pick list, or if you want to get real nerdy and real granular, look at the AE notes, which is awesome. If they're leaving notes, please AE leave notes. And then categories to look for would be pricing objections. It would be missing features or lack of functionality. It'd be status quo. So like oftentimes, oh, I forget the stat, but it's like the vast majority of closed loss deals actually don't move forward, not because they go with a competitor, but because they actually just decide it's not actually a priority anymore. So re-engage around, hey, I'm still in this objection overcome from our AE gem, and it's just killer. It's, I understand that you're not going to move forward with us. Does that change your goals? Because you started this conversation with us because you don't think you're going to hit your goals. So did the goals change? And if so, cool. But if they didn't, which 90% of the time they don't change, what's your new plan to hit those goals? And it really makes people think for a second. We've won some deals back from that objection overcome, which is awesome. Integration issues. Hey, if your technology and you don't integrate with the other tech stack, pretty big problem. And then internal bandwidth. We just don't have the time to focus on this right now. And then again, I am a big fan of trust but verify. So look back at call recordings and validate. So what you hear from your AEs, what you can see CRM. This is one of those ones where you can typically actually see it in an email of why they objected, or you actually see it back on a call recording. Validate. As far as partnership of sales, run a quick huddle with 2 to 3 AEs. What's the top objection you're hearing? Validate those objections, still apply, and then rank those which are now most likely reversible. If you hear price all the time, if you haven't had a pricing change, okay, probably not a thing that you should focus on, unless you can then outline specifically what were we missing that they would have paid for. And if you've had a feature change or a new product update that didn't correlate with a price increase. So if you add more functionality for the same price and you overcome that, great. That's actually not a pricing issue. That's a value issue. So that would be lack of functionality. But it also often comes up as always price, budget, whatever. And then expert tip, pull win-back stories of where you've already overcome this objection and use them as ammo. So what I mean by that is include that in your programs. X company also at first said no, and then still continue to struggle with the same challenges. And as a result, they did end up moving forward 6 months later. And this is their life now. If you have that story, use it. It's a great story. All right. When we think about distribution, it's just framing around the objection itself. So your channel mix is the AE is going to provide a new point of view on the objection. Your retargeting ads are focused on a key narrative of not too expensive if it pays for itself. If you've got a retargeting around pricing, I love the framing of like still a blocker. I actually did this on a closed loss email yesterday, is we were so aligned and then you wanted to try this internally. And based on what I'm seeing from your LinkedIn ads, any number of things, I don't know that you actually executed an ABM program. I would love to hear how it's going. And if you aren't where you'd like to be, I'd love to figure out how we can work together. What would it take for us to build a program together? Just framing it as like, what would it take? Because then you can overcome the actual blockers. And then I actually love organic content in this context from an executive or an AE that's like the objection we hear most and why it's outdated. So the number one reason people don't move forward with an ABM program is. So I wouldn't say like the number one reason people don't move forward with us is. That's too self-serving. But if you say the number one reason people fail at an ABM program, the number one reason people don't move forward with an ABM program, the number one reason sales and marketing can't align on their ABM program, and here's why it's outdated, great content. And it overcomes past objections, which is great. Sales partnership. So again, send the first revisit email that's focused on objection crushing, and then marketing can provide objection specific templates and rebuttals, add creative that is focused on the objection, and then short videos from the CSM team or PMs that address the problem, that directly address like, hey, it's like, I'm a product manager. And this is how we've now, we listen to our customers that were just like you and directly fix this challenge. A messaging theme is when we last spoke, we couldn't move forward because of X today, and then directly address the change. So here's an example. Last we spoke, you loved the tool. The challenge is we didn't have the integration set up with your CRM. We just released a new integration after 6 months of beta testing. You'll have the reporting capabilities you need to get a complete picture for your executives. Would it make sense to show you how the integration works, or are you completely satisfied with your current solution? Context, overcome the objection, ask for the meeting. All right, destinations. So again, deliver pieces of content or experiences that make the past objection obsolete. So if it's a pricing issue, here's a new pricing model. If it's a feature, here's the feature release. If it's a competitor, there was a client we worked with that did 30 detailed, data-backed, researched, like side-by-side comparisons of competitors. And I just love that because they actually said in certain scenarios, the competitor is better. And like, honesty is some of the best marketing. So I just love that of, hey, this is actually when we're the best fed. And next would be a customer story. So like, we had the same concern. We didn't move forward for this reason. We ended up moving forward anyway. And that concern no longer is even remotely relevant because we've grown 17,000x. So there's that ROI calculator that also can show back payback time, and then an integration checklist or new API doc. So if it challenges around, we just feel like the time to do the integration is going to be so complex, here's a quick checklist. And again, partner up with sales. Have the reps tailor the content based on the specific objections, and then marketing can just package these based on common objections as ready to send bundles. We did this for a client of ours, and I called it the FAQ ABM program. So it was specifically focused on an integration, and we just asked the sales team, what are the most commonly asked questions for customers that have this other technology? And we actually just made an FAQ section on a landing page that was specific to that integration that we then sent to those customers. And the FAQ section had content that backed every piece of what we were talking about. So it had a short synopsis, but then also a deeper dive. And like, that just became, that landing page became a sales enablement tool and a customer facing approach to outline all the objections that we would normally face. And when you can overcome objections earlier in the process, you have a higher likelihood of winning because you've already addressed those objections. And if you missed it on the first time through, the second pass, you know what to overcome. All right. So think about direction. Again, not crazy. Like a couple of CTAs that are asking for a quick meeting to talk through what's changed. And then partner with sales. AEs include calendars. SDRs track engagement to then do specific follow-ups. And then if they don't respond at all, just do an email marketing nurture that's objection specific, that is primarily focused on just getting re-engagement down the road. So TLDR, objection plus your change equals outdated objection. So just helping them see like, this is not relevant anymore. Distribution is going to look largely the same. It's AE follow-ups, SDR is going after new contacts, it's LinkedIn ads, it's retargeting social content. The other thing for distribution, when we are forming these for these webinars, we want to make sure that there's no reason you can't do this. So everything I'm outlining here, if you have an AE, if you have an SDR, if you have a LinkedIn account, if you have a social pixel on your website, and if you have the ability to post content, anyone can do these distribution channels, truly. You should add in more that are nuanced and are proven for you. But these are my recommendations, having not known every nuance of your specific situation. For destinations, it's landing pages, it's case studies, it's ROI content, it's product pages, it's buyer enablement content. So making it really easy for your buyers to buy. Lastly, direction is just content engagement and meetings booked. All right, persona-based. Let's talk about persona-based for a moment. I'm going to revive opportunities and realign the messaging and the outreach to the right persona at the right depth and have role-specific value. I'm actually going to overshare something that we are experiencing over here at Scrappy ABM. Our primary point of contact loves working with us. We get really in the weeds. We get really tactical. We get really specific, and we do the work with them. Love it. We struggle sometimes on actually overcoming the executive level objections that come up if they don't already understand ABM. So like some of the objections around like, man, this takes a long time, or just making sure that everything we do is directly aligned to their current business objectives. We're trying, but sometimes even when we're talking with our main point of contact, they don't know all of the components of the business objectives. So as we think about actually some of our closed loss programs are actually typically more aligned at re-engaging specifically like CRO, CEO, CFO, not CMO, because we typically get them relatively bought in, or directors of demand gen or VPs of marketing. It's typically the higher level buyers that don't, for lack of a word, forgive me, they've got 1,000 things going on. We're just a bullet point on their agenda of things to get knocked out in a one-on-one. They spend 5 minutes thinking about us. We don't have a really clear story for them uniquely and specifically. And as a result, they're like, I don't know. And sometimes the executive leadership team then trusts their directors to demand gen. Sometimes they don't. So for some specific, like it, you may do really well for the account, but you may just get blocked by somebody. So how do we re-engage those? So we're going to use a CRM and specifically audit like who's engaged. So like specifically, who did sales talk to? Were all buyers represented? Was it the champion? Was it the economic buyer? Was it the end user? Was there an executive sponsor? And then what I like to look at is there are certain deals that are just single threaded. There's only one person associated with the deal, or there's a critical role missing, or a persona. But the more we got to know about that account, they weren't a persona with influence. So they couldn't actually push the deal forward. It's like understanding where we lacked on who we were talking to and engaging in the deal is the main data you're trying to pull out here. From a partnership with sales perspective, run a quick review workshop. That's which personas were missing last time. So you can do this on a quarterly review and look at all the deals that you lost and just say, man, most like the average, you only had three people associated to it. But we know our buying committee is typically eight. So who were we missing? Awesome. From there, ask if you could go back, who would you have gotten bought in earlier? And then also I'd look at a contact map and just understanding how do we make sure that we've mapped the relationships effectively and have great content and resources that actually speak to those personas and those buyers. From a distribution perspective, again, the primary goal is actually to not just engage the buyers that already liked us and those original champions. Like we want to talk to them for sure, but like they didn't get the deal done. So we actually need to multi-thread and get more people involved. So I'd look at the AE, the role of, again, engaging those warm relationships. And then the SDR is going to go after specific people that weren't engaged previously and trying to get them multi-threaded in. And then your retargeting layer would be role-specific messaging. So for example, built for ops teams like yours. And then the other thing that I like to do in this role, in this context, is typically the personas that we're missing are higher level decision makers, typically. So when you can actually get your executives aligned on actually reaching out in a closed loss program and doing a peer-to-peer outreach, huge engagement and a higher likelihood that they actually re-engage versus if it's just an SDR going after a CFO. If your CFO reaches out to their CFO for a peer connect, again, higher likelihood of success. From a sales partnership perspective, again, we're going to focus AEs on existing relationships. We're going to focus SDRs on unengaged buying roles, and then marketing is going to provide copy templates, value drivers, top questions and concerns that persona is going to specifically have, that we have content that directly addresses that and templates that directly address that, and then one pagers or short videos. So that's what we're looking at from a distribution perspective. As an example, old example, my bad. Route them to language that speaks to them directly. So end users. Do video walkthroughs and short videos and workflow examples. So if you struggle with the end user that just was like, I'm just not going to use this thing, show them a day in the life. For CFOs, use an ROI calculator. For ops and RevOps, time to value breakdowns, onboarding checklists. For like strategic POV docs, analyst quotes, customer logos in their space. For IT and security, if you've got integration documentation, if you've got security FAQs, if you have certifications like SOC 2 or ISO. And then in the partnership with sales, like we want reps to decide who gets the content based on their specific context that they already know. Some of us should start to feel really familiar. Marketing is going to build specific persona resource documents in a menu that helps sales route the leads to the right content at that time. And what we want to do is we want to make sure we're calling each person to the right next step that makes sense for them uniquely. It's like asking a CFO to hop on a demo, probably not. But showing them a personalized ROI summary, yeah. So like for the champion, let's book a group evaluation call, or let's invite your team to a walkthrough. For the CFO, let's get a personalized ROI summary. For IT, hey, let's review some technical documentation. I just provided a quick overview so you can see it's relatively easy to set up. For end users, hey, let's try this interactive demos. Hey, for the executives, we're actually hosting a roundtable with a bunch of other executives that are just like you, would love to see you there. And in the partnership of sales, like AEs should own the high value conversations. SDRs should be focused on booking meetings with newly engaged personas and looping in the AE, and then marketing should track the CTA engagement to get these accounts that are showing levels of engagement to re-engage. So the TLDR, missing persona plus use case, equals a new way in. The rest of this is relatively similar. The biggest change here from a distribution perspective is going to be the exec connect. So those are the recommendations. All right, we've got one more playbook, but I'm sure that's a ton of information. So as you're thinking through this, again, you likely are going to have some gaps. So here's what we recommend. That 4D framework that we just outlined, it's actually a diagnostic tool. So as you go to build out the program, you're probably going to think, man, I don't have the right distribution, I don't have the right content, I don't have the ability to track, I don't have the right personas engaged, I don't have the right even ability to segment my accounts. Great. now you know the gaps to go and solve. You also want to likely adjust some of the ways in which you're tracking so you can ensure that you're tracking everything effectively. And then also, just as you're thinking through it, some of these playbooks may require re-engagement playbooks afterwards. So just make sure that you've got some clear understanding of the playbooks that you're missing. And the last thing that I want to outline here before we move into some Q&As is just, again, like, you don't necessarily need a new audience. Like, you've already paid to acquire these customers. You've already uncovered their pain. You've already earned the right to be considered. So ABM isn't about just saying it louder, but it's about being smarter with the timing, the messaging, and the execution. So again, you don't need 15 new tactics. You just need these four plays with four aligned roles and the courage to revisit good opportunities with better timing. So again, a closed loss program isn't saying we failed. It's actually like your quickest path to pipeline. All right. So go ahead and go pull these closed loss ops based on loss reasons and start doing a buyer map to identify your gaps. And you're going to focus on warmest fit and most recently closed, champions that trust you, objections you've already solved, or verticals where you have strong customer stories. I'd focus on one and then partner with sales to map ownership. And then again, if you want to have a project plan for how to map all this out, scrapabm.com/plan. If you want more stuff, just scan the QR code on your screen. We've got our newsletter, which if you're registered for this, you're now opted in. So hopefully that's helpful. We've also got our program playing template. We also do have a 3-hour free masterclass that we did with User Gems that is really tactical, like excruciating levels of detail. And then also, if you're a part of the CXL community, we do have a course in there. It's about 2 hours long on how to build out an account progression model. If you're not in CXL, shoot me a message and I'm happy to give you a link that'll help you get registered for a little less. And lastly, we also do offer swag. So I'll just be honest, if anybody wants our logo to wear, I'm happy to send it to you completely for free. So just go grab a thing on this freebie. All right. Since I'm not seeing a whole lot of questions, if we see some questions, I'll pause. But when we look at champion tracking, champion based, we want to use relationships and tracking and revive deals that may have died when your internal champion left. Sometimes you didn't lose the deal, you just lost the person that was driving it. So when I think about data, who is our champion's boss? This is kind of my immediate question, is like, when a champion leaves, okay, who are they reporting to? So I would look at where we lost a deal because somebody left and pull those. And then again, identify who the internal champion was, what their role played in the decision process, and then what stalled the deal. If it was the internal advocate leaving, great. We now know what we need to overcome. From a data perspective, you can use tools like LinkedIn, User Gems, or SalesNav to confirm if the champion has changed roles, and then also to find new titles. And then within the account, identify who took their place specifically or their boss, and then map out the stakeholders that were lightly engaged or CC'd. Dave, for this, as far as what your teams missed, I tried to make this really jam-packed. So what I would do is, if you go to that freebies page, or if you just, we'll send an email, I would just specifically ask your team to review specific slides, or I just pull out those slides and send it to your team, because this was intended to be really tactical. I would share it that way and say, hey, I just watched this webinar. It's on closed loss. There's four playbooks. I think this one is super relevant for us. If you watch the full thing, like, here's the link. But that's what I would do if I'm in your shoes. It's just find the thing that you want to actually have your team go and execute, and then share the full resource if they want it. But honestly, most people probably won't watch the full resource. So I would just make it really easy and say, here's the one I think we should do. Speaking of which, when we talk about partnering internally and you get buying around champion tracking, who is the person, or was the person a true champion, or were they just friendly? So if they didn't actually have the influence to drive the deal forward, we're nice. That's great to know. And then we can re-engage their boss. And then, did they actually try to sell it internally? Who else was looped in? It's like understanding, again, the decision committee, who was actually bought in. Because if you lose the deal because one person left, that means that you probably didn't have a real deal in the first place. There weren't a lot of internal conversations happening. I have not seen it happen when I had three or more people engage in a sales process where one person leaving killed the deal. Might have stalled it and delayed it, but like, it didn't kill the deal unless then it was a domino effect and a lot of other people left. So that's a separate conversation. Align on which accounts are actually reviving at the old organization. Again, you can re-engage these, but also if they were a real champion and they now have budget, figure out where they went. That's like the whole value of User Gems. And then update the contact map for both organizations, both past and present. That's data. When we think about distribution, this is really focused on trying to go after both companies. So we want to go after the old champion at a new company. We want to go after the old company with a new champion. So AE should reach out to the original champion at their new company. The SDR should target the replacement and adjacent stakeholders, and then use a job transition and typically try to do outreach within about 1 to 2 weeks of a job transition. From there, you want to use both email, LinkedIn, DMs, and then potentially direct mail as a warm reentry. And then lastly, from a retargeting perspective, new role, familiar problem, here's where things left off, or now might be the right time to revisit this. I have found that actually emailing somebody that was at a company that was, again, the old org, if a person left, and just say, hey, here's the high level overview of thing that I talked through with Michelle. I imagine this is probably something that's still a problem. Didn't know if it made sense to continue the conversation despite Michelle transitioning out. Also fully understand you need to pause for a couple of weeks to kind of get your bearings now that Michelle has left. Great. But like the other thing that I found is that champions often move from one ICP fit company to another ICP fit company. So they likely have the same problems at their new organization. So like just following them, huge way of actually driving a ton of revenue. From a sales partnership perspective, again, AE owns the original champion. SDR handles new outreach, marketing supports with percent of specific copy, retargeting ads, and then exec to exec messages if appropriate. So again, champion tracking here. If the deal dies, having the executive of your organization reach out to the executive and say, hey, I know that Susie just left. I know how hard it is to have internal turnover. If there's anything we need to be helpful, happy to be helpful. Like that kind of a message really goes a long way. As far as destination, where are we sending them? So for the champion that's at the new company, things like a quick start guide or a 90-day roadmap, super helpful. As far as shortcut content, include a case study from their old use case. So if they had a use case that we're trying to solve, include that case study, ROI summary, and then like a light onboarding roadmap and just say, hey, I know that you're new in your role. This is something that we've seen work really well for other people that are starting a new job just like you as a way of getting, showing significant value within your first 90 days. Hopefully this is helpful. As far as the original company, so I would do a project recap as the destination. So this is typically going to be an email. And ideally, we are sending over, hey, here's what was evaluated. These are some things that I know were priorities and may have stalled us. And then these are some of the challenges that we need to help you overcome or some of the changes of what's happened on our side. And then include an easy-to-consume reactivation content. So that's an update, a demo video, and then a peer case study. As far as a partnership with sales, what we're looking at here is just the right landing page. So I thought this would be helpful. SDRs can go after new contacts, and then marketing can provide, again, similar content. So at this point, I think you're seeing the pattern and how we want to engage these different audiences. And then lastly, direction is, again, right next step for them based on where they are. Hey, explore this again with your new priorities, or is this still on your radar, the primary messaging themes? And then I know we are running up against time, so this is the TLDR. Again, it's track champion plus new company equals a new opportunity. By the way, we got a bunch of freebies. If you want this deck, this was a jam-packed webinar when that was the goal and intent. I don't expect that you got everything on this first pass, so you can always watch the replay, go into way more detail. You can look back at the presentation, or if you want some help and support, always feel free to reach out to us in LinkedIn or email. So again, thank you so much for joining us today on this live stream. If there's any other thoughts and questions, feel free to reach out. We'll see you in the next one. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.